Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Right now, we are very happy to be joined by the head coach at Kansas State University. Chris Kleiman joins us on the show today. Coach, really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's just start with this. What does this week mean to you? What does this week mean to your university? What does it mean to your players?
Yeah, it's obviously an important game for our players, for alumni base fans, all that stuff. But it's another opportunity for us. I mean, we know we're facing a really good team in KU. We got to go to their place. I know how big this game is for the state, and our guys understand all that, but I also want them to focus on their jobs and focus on their assignments and what we have to do to be successful. And once we kick that thing off, I know it's KU versus K-State, but then we just got to execute and play high-level football.
Right now, we're talking to Chris Kleiman, taking a look ahead to this weekend's game against Kansas, KU and K-State going up against one another. Coach, what have you learned about your football team over the first 7-8 weeks of the season?
Well, we've learned a lot more since our last bye week, where we played football, played three football games and played really, really pretty good. Now, we won two of them. We should have had a chance to beat Baylor. We let that one slip, but we've played much better the last 3 weeks, and hopefully we have a little bit of an identity of what we are, of being able to rush the football and getting a little bit better on defense and special teams. We weren't a very good team the first, I'd say, quarter of the season for whatever reason, but we've hopefully flipped that switch a little bit. It's one of the things about not wanting an open week when we had it before we played KU. It happened that for both of us, we had one. We were playing pretty good in beating TCU and beating UCF, and then we have this open week. So hopefully our guys got rested, but we haven't kind of lost that edge where we were playing really well.
What are you doing during that bye week? Are you hyper-focusing on KU and watching other games? Are you keeping a look at the national landscape, maybe the Big 12? How are you best utilizing that time that you have in the middle of the season?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. One, we're still a development program, and so we've got to make sure we work on some of these younger players that haven't had an opportunity to play basically K-State versus K-State football. They've been doing scout cards. So we focused a lot of our time on a lot of those freshmen, a lot of those newer players that maybe haven't gotten a chance to play in games. And then, obviously we've spent some time working on KU. You play them so often, and both programs know each other so well that we know there's going to be new wrinkles that we're going to see, and we're probably going to give them a few wrinkles. That's just typical of this matchup.
Looking at the quarterback matchup here, let's start with you guys. How important is it to have somebody like Avery around, who has obviously played in this rivalry and also grew up around it and understand what this rivalry means to the state?
Yeah, I know that that is important. It's important for our team. It's important to Avery. The fact that he was at KU in 2023, Will played the majority of that game, but he saw that vibe, saw the atmosphere, saw that it was a tough place to play in. Then having the opportunity to come here and play at home last year, of getting that feel for what this game is really about in between the lines, and that experience is going to really help him. But same thing, he's got to play within himself and just let the game plan of what they hopefully can give us that he can exploit and take care of.
We talked about growth amongst your team. I feel like we've seen that growth with Avery as well. He's been a different quarterback since that Arizona game. You guys had the bye week afterwards. You come back. You mentioned that you guys are playing well. That seems to coincide with Avery playing a lot better as well.
Yeah, and it's coincided with us being able to rush the football. I think that's the biggest thing for any quarterback is having that ability to hand the ball off and not being second and 10 and third and 11. We've been in a lot more second and medium and third and shorts, which then it allows Avery to use his arm, use his legs. It allows Coach Wells to open up the playbook a little bit more. And I think probably KU would say the same thing. If you cannot rush the football, you're putting so much pressure on your quarterback. And I think that's really going to be determining this game. I think both quarterbacks are going to play really well. It's who can win the line of scrimmage.
Looking at you guys' team, you mentioned running the football. You have had a different leading rusher in each of your last three games. The expectation was that Dylan Edwards was going to have a big year. Injuries have kind of derailed that a little bit. How valuable has it been for your guys that even in the face of injuries with Dylan, you guys have been able to pick up the slack in the run game?
Yeah, it's really helped that Joe Jackson's come on and playing really good football. He had a good season last year but came in as the backup to Dylan, and then got thrust into that number one role, and he's playing at a really high level right now. We've got a couple other younger players that are going to play some. If Dylan can't, if Dylan can, then obviously it'll be Dylan and Joe. But if he can't, then we've got to have some young guys step up.
Right now, we're talking to the head coach of Kansas State, Chris Klieman, here for a couple of more minutes. Coach, the last time you and I talked, we talked about just the Big 12 as a whole, and you were telling me how much you hated preseason polls and expectations just because of how things can fluctuate and the uncertainty around it. I look at this Big 12 right now. Every time I think I've got a handle on it, something changes. I thought Texas Tech was the best team in the league. They go on the road and they lose to Arizona State. We see a lot of parity in the National Football League this season. I'm seeing a lot of parity in college football and especially in your conference, the Big 12 as well.
Yeah, it's across the landscape of college football. You're seeing a lot of parity, and I think that has to do with the transfer portal, with some of the revenue sharing and name, image, likeness. People are able to put some money into some players, and maybe hitting on the right guys. You look at different programs that have been able to do that. But within the Big 12, I think if you'd ask any coach when we were at media days, you could have thrown it up for grabs, and there was 10 teams that probably could finish in the top two or three, and that's kind of played out the way it is. Everybody thought Arizona State, and I think Arizona State's a really good team. They get beat, but they don't have their quarterback, and then they get Texas Tech, and they get them at home. So, it's just going to be like this the whole season, and that's the unfortunate thing is it's harder to get two teams in that college football playoff if we're going to keep beating each other up.
Do you guys ever talk about the streak? Is that something that ever comes up?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't not talk about it. I think all the elephants in the room of a lot of things as you go through a season come up. So absolutely, our kids know about it. Maybe some of the new guys don't. So you got to explain that a little bit, but it still comes down to who has the best team that year. This is a brand new year. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12 that, has a ton of game experience, and the moment's not going to be too big for Jalen, just like the moment's not going to be too big for Avery. So I think it's two great quarterbacks going at it, but somebody else is going to end up helping winning this game, whether it's somebody's O-line, D-line, special team, somewhere in there.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. I always like hearing these stories. Who is the former player or coach who has come to speak to your guys about the importance of this rivalry? We always see those videos come out from the social media teams, and they're always fun to watch. Did you guys have Jordy Nelson come back, Darren Sproles? Who was that player to come back to talk about the importance of this game?
We didn't have anybody come back during this week. I think a guy that addressed our team that did a great job is Seth Porter. Seth played for us for 4 years, 5 years during my time here. He's now an assistant strength coach for us. His dad played in the game. I think Seth really captured it great for those younger players about how important it is. Even though Seth was from Texas, he became a K-Stater, and I think that was his message was really good to hear, not only from a new player standpoint, but from the older guys, that how important this game is to some of the guys that have already passed, done playing, that know how important this game is in the rivalry.
That is the head coach at Kansas State University, Chris Klieman. You can catch their game against KU coming up on Saturday at 11 a.m. Coach, I know everybody here is excited about it. I am a neutral party. I'm not cheering for either side. I just want to see a good game.
I do, too. I think it'll be a heck of a four-quarter game.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Coach, really appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for popping on today.
Absolutely. Thanks.
For sure. That is the head coach of Kansas State, Chris Klieman, joining us on the show. Rob, is that how you feel about this game? Are you expecting this to be a four-quarter knockout, drag-out kind of game? I mean, the spread would suggest that. I think these two teams are fairly even. You haven't been able to say that in quite some time. You mentioned it earlier that Kansas has had a couple of opportunities to end this streak, and they've let them slip through. Are you expecting this to be a full 60-minute kind of game?
100%. This is a four-quarter game. Like, I know that sounds stupid because all football games are four quarters, but let's be honest. The Chiefs and Raiders was not a four-quarter game. That was
a four-minute game.
Like, that was a one drive and then we're done kind of game.
You know what that game was? It was a Vine. That's when it was over. That wasn't even a YouTube video. That was a Vine. How quickly that thing.
Yeah, I expect four quarters of really good football. I also expect points. KU's defense leaks like a sieve, and K-State's defense has been spotty at times as well. So I expect points. So if you like offense, you're going to see a fun 60 minutes on Saturday in Lawrence.
Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. It would appear that other teams have been inquiring about Christian Fulton, also have been inquiring about Joshua Williams. We'll talk about that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Usually, we'd be talking to Patrick Mahomes at this time. That has been moved to tomorrow. The Chiefs' schedule is a little bit different because of Monday Night Football. So we are going to have Patrick Mahomes come on the show tomorrow. Let's talk a little Chiefs here as we get you ready for Monday Night Football against the Commanders. So you guys know that right now I'm in the process of trying to figure out my next car situation. And I think I have it narrowed down to the car that I'm going to get. And Rob, one thing that I've learned is very, very important in all of this is got to read the Carfax. You go up there, you like a car. Hey, you got the Carfax. You go over them, you read them. I give them to my mechanic. Hey, what do you think? Ooh, I don't know about this one. Oh, this one has great service history. You got to read the Carfax. Rob, what do we know about Christian Fulton whenever Christian Fulton was a free agent? Did we know that Christian Fulton had knee issues? Didn't we know that? It's not like this just randomly popped up, something that was unforeseen. You knew that he had some injury issues. Now, the Chiefs believe that he was past the injury issues, that they were going to be able to figure it out and get him right. But what I think happened is I don't think he was healthy in the very beginning of the season, and I think by the time that he had gotten healthy, the Chiefs had just quite simply moved on from Christian Fulton. You obviously loved him at one point. You signed him to a two-year, $20 million deal, but he couldn't participate in training camp. He couldn't participate in preseason games. That gave you the opportunity to see more Noel Williams, more Jalen Watson. You got to play the safeties more, and I think he lost his job because of it. Right now, he is fully healthy to our understanding. He has not been limited in any one of these practices, hasn't popped up on the injury report. He's been healthy these last couple of weeks. They are making a choice to not play Christian Fulton at this point. I think he just got behind the eight ball. I think other guys got an opportunity to showcase their ability. They like those players more than him. Yes, it's 2 years, $20 million, but we're not talking about this isn't a Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson kind of deal that you got to play him. And the Chiefs just seem fine and just eat the Christian Fulton money. I don't see how he gets back in the lineup if not for an injury. What would make him change? Not with the way they're playing right now, not with the way this defense is playing right now. If you haven't been playing so far, why would we think that you're about to now play on Monday Night Football or in a couple of weeks against the Buffalo Bills? I think he's outside their circle of trust. So if that's the case, it might be in their best interest to just get what you can get, or you keep him around and you kind of play it like what happened with Jalen Moore. Jalen Moore was not playing. Circumstances changed. You now need him. But if it's not for an injury, I don't know how Christian Fulton finds another pathway back onto the field.
Let me ask you this, because I understand the Jalen Moore situation happened and he was a break glass in case of emergency. And because of whatever Josh Simmons is dealing with, it's personal. They had to break that glass and Jalen Moore has been very good on the field. But outside of that example, do we have a lot of examples of the Chiefs or any team spent big on a high price, high, you know, importance, positional value spot, and he rides pine and the hope is, hey, maybe one day he's there in case we need him? That doesn't seem like great roster building to me. What you're describing is cornerback number four, cornerback number five, well, Chris Roland Wallace type of player. There's nothing wrong with having that player on the roster. That player can't make $10 million a year to sit in street clothes, and then, hey, if something terrible happens, we have you in case of emergency. That doesn't feel like great roster manipulation to me. So I understand what you're saying. Hey, let's keep him on the roster in case an emergency happens. I think that'd be silly to pay a guy $10 million to sit on the bench in case something terrible happens. So I'm a proponent of trading him and getting whatever back for him because, I mean, it feels like he plays in a valuable position. It feels like he's a guy who's healthy. It feels like it would make sense to get something back. But right now, he's doing nothing for you. And I don't know why I like a $10 million guy doing nothing for you.
Yeah, but I guess where I would argue, though, is, I mean, at least for this year one, that money is already paid. The money's already paid. You gave him a $6 million signing bonus. That money's gone. You're never getting the $6 million back. So if you trade him tomorrow, you just spent $6 million on a player who played 17 snaps for you. I wish we all could be as fortunate in our life to hit the lotto the way that Christian Fulton hit. And so the way that his contract is structured, I'm looking it up right now. So he is guaranteed the signing bonus, all of his money this year, and $5 million of next year's salary. They locked themselves in to Christian Fulton. So at least for this season, let's get all of the signing bonus possibly. Let's get all of the compensation, because you and I talk about it all the time. It's not a question of if you're going to deal with injuries. It's a question of when you're going to deal with injuries. One of your corners is going to get hurt. That's football. One of your players, your defensive lineman, like we saw with Omar Norman Lott, he got injured. You're going to have to deal with injuries at some point. All it takes is one twisted ankle. Now Jalen Watson misses a couple of games, and now you slide Christian Fulton back in there. If you liked Christian Fulton back in June, certainly enough to give him the money, and now he's fully healthy, I think you just keep him and you let's see what happens. Now, I think Joshua Williams is a little bit of a different conversation. I mean, they've drafted Joshua Williams five different times as an organization. If we want to talk about dime a dozen and their ability to replicate guys, that's not talking about players like Trent McDuffie to me. That's talking about players like Joshua Williams. You can go find another Joshua Williams in the draft. You really can. He's in the last year of his deal. I'm guessing you're not keeping him next season. So if you got rid of Joshua Williams and you got a fifth-round pick, sixth-round pick for him, there's another team that's a little bit deficient when it comes to corner. You can get back some assets, and then you can use that to potentially go get what you want. Or next year in the draft, you can use that compensation to move up and get something that you really like. I'd be interested in that trade, but Christian Fulton is a player that I would keep. I don't know why you would move on from him if he's healthy.
Let me ask you this about Joshua Williams, because I can't get it pulled up in front of me real quick. What did they get for Rashad Fenton in a trade? Because remember, I believe it was right after the COVID year. Rashad Fenton, a name most Chiefs fans don't remember, but he was a fine corner for this team. They turned and burned him. They then got a pick.
You don't
want to
know. They got a conditional pick for him. Hold on, let me find out what it was.
Because that's the same as
They got a conditional seventh-round pick for him.
That's probably what Joshua Williams' value is.
You think Christian Fulton has a great value?
I think Christian Fulton has more value than that. Christian Fulton last year, look at Christian Fulton last year. We are 12 months removed from him being a productive NFL player, and now he's nothing.
Are you trading for Christian Fulton if you're another team? Because now we got to do the say it out loud test.
That's fair.
There's a team that gave you $6 million guaranteed, or $6 million signing bonus, $15 million guaranteed, and you can't get on the field. Steve Spagnuolo does not think that you can play. Because if they thought you could play, they'd put you in the rotation. We ain't talking about a quarterback or tight end where you're taking guys off the field. We're talking about a corner. You swap corners in and out all the time. He's been fully healthy, and he's been getting DMPs the last 2 weeks. I'm now giving you something of value to take on his contract and get that off the books for you when it's fully guaranteed this season? Especially when next year, if you're the Chiefs, you can just simply cut him and save a little bit of money. They're saving a lot of money. You're saving $5 million against the cap. But, I mean, that's something. You're saving a little bit next year if you get rid of him. So I certainly hear what you're saying. Yes, I think that Christian Fulton is a better player. But one player right now is making peanuts, and you can just walk away at the end of the season. You can't just walk away from Christian Fulton at the end of the season, not if you're the team that's trading for him. The Chiefs can. But I'm not giving you value to take a bad contract off of your books and do your dirty work for you. Absolutely not if I'm a random team in the league.
I guess that's totally fair. The say it out loud test. I just feel like Christian Fulton is a better player than Joshua Williams, so he would hold more value, but you're right. Why would I take this contract nightmare for a guy that has not played? And it wasn't like Christian Fulton contract was the most expensive cornerback contract doled out in free agency. You would presume if you're a team, you probably had a chance at Christian Fulton this offseason, and you might have said no, so why am I bailing out the Chiefs? You're right. It does not pass the say it out loud or the sniff test early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just guessing. I'm guessing if you're going to get rid of Christian Fulton, you got to be willing to eat some of the money, and you got to be willing to give him away for pennies on the dollar. You got to be willing to do that. And you could probably do that. Is there a team that would swap six with Kansas City if Kansas City's also willing to eat some of the money on the back half? Like, you paid for a car that you're upside down on. That's the analogy. You paid for a car that right now it ain't worth much if you were them. So you can either ride it out and try to get some value out of it, or you're going to have to potentially move on. I'm not surprised that teams are calling the Chiefs about a couple of their corners, because it feels like they've really set in on their rotation of who they like. That's what it feels like. on defense, it feels like the Chiefs at this point, when it comes to their safety situation, when it comes to their corners and their linebackers, they seem completely set. Now, defensive line, I think we know that they're looking, and we can get to Jalen Phillips here coming up in a bit. But at corner, they do have a little bit of a surplus, and they certainly could help to lose somebody in that group. So somebody mentions, what about the Lions? The Lions would be a team, I'm guessing, called the Chiefs. We just saw you guys. We just saw these corners. You guys did a great job against our team. Hey, what about that guy that I saw on the sideline? He's not playing right now. What are you guys doing with that? I would assume the Lions are definitely one of those teams that have placed a call, have made a call about trying to figure out what's going to happen with those guys. Let's talk about Jalen Phillips. You like this move?
I would like this move.
What do you like about this move? Because to me, it just seems like this is a move that I've seen them make time and time again, and I don't really know if I've seen this move really work a lot for them on defense. I mean, this is a guy who's 26 years old, former first-round pick, hasn't really been super productive the last couple of seasons, that you're hoping you can shake the magic eight ball and you can get a good answer from. He has 2 sacks this season. He has 11 tackles. I mean, he's been okay this season, but he's in the final year of a first-round deal, so we want to talk about money-wise. He ain't cheap. This is not trading for Joshua Williams, who was a mid-round draft pick who's in the final year of his deal. This is trading for a first-round pick, so his money is coming fully guaranteed. Now, maybe Miami is willing to pay some of that to get him off the books, but I'm also guessing that Jalen Phillips will have some kind of market for a 26-year-old pass rusher who has a little bit of ability. I just don't know if this player really moves the needle, but the point you and I were making yesterday when talking about this is, I mean, this is kind of either what you're looking for. You're either looking for a Jalen Phillips who's 26 years old and doesn't have a great history and track record, or you're looking for Calais Campbell, who definitely has a track record, but is also 39 years old and either in his last year in the league or his second to last year in the league.
I like this deal. If it were to happen, I guess we should talk about it in the hypothetical because it's just a name being thrown out. It's not breaking news. It has happened. And I think one of the reasons I like it is it fits in what Brett Veach likes to do, and it's low acquisition cost, and high upside. Jalen Phillips was once considered a top prospect in the draft. We have seen Brett Veach target what he thought were top prospects in the draft. I know everyone points to, you know, the recent moves, but this is not a new thing. Like, Mike Hughes, he did this. He did this with traded for Reggie Ragland. Like, they do this a lot. You think, hey, maybe we get into our system, our culture, we can get the most out of him, because there was a time where on our draft board we thought he could be productive. He just hasn't been. And I also think the acquisition cost is going to be low because he's in the final year of his deal, and you don't have to re-sign him. You don't have to say, we got him and now we're locking him up long-term. You can add him and be like, ugh, it wasn't for me, and eject at the end of the year. I know the Joshua Uche thing did not work. I don't know why it didn't work. I don't know if it was Spags. I don't know if it was Uche.
Know if he's a consistent NFL player.
It could be any number of things, but it didn't work. But conceptually, that is a move that I love the Chiefs making. They gave up at the time for Uche a 6th-round pick for a guy that they felt could be a rotational pass rusher and they might be able to get the most out of. They didn't. It didn't work. But that's probably what you're looking at with Jalen Phillips, too. Maybe it's a 5th-round pick. Maybe it's a conditional 6 that turns into a 5th. Maybe there's, you know, some maneuvering around. But this is not a break the bank. This is not a, oh, man, you got to give up a day 2 pick. This is not a, hey, there's a contract on the backside. It's none of that. It's, we think our system can get the most out of you. We're willing to take that shot, and the acquisition cost is low, which is important for a team that, let's be honest, as the Chiefs are entering phase 2 or maybe phase 3 of their dynasty, contracts make it tough to, you know, spend money at every single position. So draft picks are of the utmost importance, and you don't mind giving up a 6th for a player that can help you in the now because it's low acquisition cost.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit worried about Jalen Phillips for this reason. In 2023, his season ended because he tore his Achilles. He got back from a torn Achilles. His season ended in 2024 because he tore his ACL. It's just the injury history is there.
Let me ask you this, though. Didn't that injury history exist with DeAndre Hopkins? They made that trade last year, no problem. Hopkins is a better player. I get that. But Hopkins had injury issue, and they looked past it to add him.
Yeah, and I guess I would just also argue that I don't really think DeAndre Hopkins really moved the needle that much for the Kansas City Chiefs. It sounded really good. I think we all just kind of put up with the, I mean, this is going okay, but it's going to be a big plus in the postseason. It wasn't a big plus in the postseason, and everybody was just happy to move on from that scenario. And you're right, I also think that Hopkins, like, what Hopkins I think potentially could provide, I think is just more than what Jaleb Phillips would provide for you.
That's 100% fair. I'm just saying, injury history has not scared the Chiefs off in the past. I mean, again, actually, this is a fine analogy. Kadarius Toney had injury history, and they targeted him at the trade deadline and went out and got him. And you were here when that happened. People didn't say, oh, you got to watch out for the injury history. It was all upside all the time. So I don't think injury history scares the Chiefs off the deadline the way it does some people. He definitely has injury history, but I don't think it's a, you know, red mark, you can't trade for him thing in the Chiefs' mind the way it is in some fans' minds.
Yeah, I also think, and I guess to your point, I think you got to be realistic about the kind of player you're going to acquire at this point in the season. You're not acquiring the perfect prospect. That guy just doesn't exist. That guy exists potentially in free agency, overspend, whatever it is. Like, you can find potentially what you're looking for in free agency. Really good players that can help playoff teams. There's not an abundance of those guys that we think are going to get traded here coming up in a couple of weeks. There's probably going to be, what, two or three of those players that move teams. And I also feel like the trade deadline is kind of one of those things that we always float out these names and teams end up making it. And then in the end, when we kind of look back, we're like, that trade was a whole lot of nothing. It sounded good. It felt good, but it didn't really end up to anything. I don't have a serious problem with Jaleb Phillips if we're talking about a fifth round or lower. Now, it's a lot of money, I guess, for a rental piece, but we're talking about $5 million and you have the ability to get out at the end of the season. And if you think he can fit the rotation, but what my fear would be is they did this last year with Joshua Uche where they traded a sixth round pick. We all went on his Pro Football Reference page. He had 11 and a half sacks. We're thinking change of scenery. You put him in Spags defense, it's going to work. And it was almost like they traded for a player that they didn't actually like because he could never, ever see the field, and we don't think he fit their scheme. So if you're going to trade for Jaleb Phillips, great, but you're telling me you need defensive line help. Are they actually going to play him on the defensive line, and they're actually going to let him be the help? Because they didn't let that happen last year with Joshua Uche.
I mean, I feel like that's a question that me and you cannot answer. I think it's a fair complaint because on the surface, the Uche trade looked really good. It looked smart. Like, it was everything that was supposed to work. It just didn't. But that feels like it's on the coaching staff and the GM and the personnel department to understand and work hand in hand. Like, that's just something the media can't answer. Like, if you're Brett Veach and you love Jaleb Phillips and you go down to Spags' office or who's the D-line coach, Joe Cullen's office, and they say, I don't see it, you don't trade for him. I don't know what the deal with Uche was. It just didn't ever seem to work. On the surface, it made sense. It just never seemed to work.
I want to play this audio for you guys because it was announced that Jaden Daniels is not going to start on Monday night and Marcus Mariota is going to start. And it reminded me of quite possibly the worst call in the history of the National Football League.
Mariota flattened back at the 30-yard line, the ball on the ground. Derek Johnson at 35.
I have no idea how they blocked him. I have no idea what Derrick Henry is looking at, and that's where you miss DeMarco Murray. You blow a pickup against Derrick Johnson, and you're going to pay for it.
They ruled Mariota down.
I still, for the life of me, I don't understand. I don't get the logic behind it. I don't know how the Marcus Mariota sack in the playoffs was considered to be a forward progress. I also don't understand how, with all the videos that we have and all the stoppages of play that we have to look at things and slow things down and ability to tell the officials, hold on, I think you guys made a mistake. I don't know how such an egregious error could happen in a playoff game. And nobody had the ability to just, hold on, stop it. This is incorrect. We need to rule differently about it. He's standing in the pocket, gets hit, fumbled the ball, and the defense picks it up. It is textbook scoop and potential score. forward progress. Still doesn't make any sense to me. That was the TV call of the play. Let's hear Mitch Holtis. I haven't heard this in a long time.
Good snap back to Mariota. Being pressured, he is absolutely leveled. Now the ball comes out late. He is hit and dropped back at the 32-yard line. Derek Johnson came on the blitz and de-cleats Mariota. They say that he was down by contact before the football came out, and DJ came in a furious blitz, and Mariota goes down on a big loss back to his own 31.
I'm not joking. I think that's quite possibly the worst call that I've ever seen. I think the pass interference in the Saints and Rams is just a missed call. I think it's a missed call. I know we've seen the play a million times and the refs got to be on that. I'm not excusing it. But I could understand how when both players are moving really quickly and it's a bang-bang play, I can understand how you just miss a pass interference. That's understandable to me. Or in real time, it looks like it was a bang-bang play, but then when you slow it down, it actually, in fact, was not a bang-bang play. I will never understand how you can look at that play and consider it forward progress. I'll never understand. And then the text lines also reminded me that the ref, I believe it was Jeff Triplett, immediately retired after the game. Where's the Netflix documentary on that? Because something seems very suspicious. Super questionable call, and then you get out the game immediately after? I don't know, man. Sound like first-team FanDuel to me.
Listen, it was a terrible call, but it is absolutely not the reason why the Chiefs lost that game. It's awful, but the Chiefs were up 14-0 at that point, and they were going to hold the Titans to a field goal. This was pre-Mahomes Andy Reid found a way to blow games like this a lot.
But I don't know if you can say that, because if you're up 14-0, you get a big sack at home that energizes your crowd. They then lose possession of the ball, and you have it. It completely changes the context of the game in that scenario if you end up making that play. Completely changes it in that scenario. Your crowd's into it. Your defense is fired up. Now you take away what is an obvious sack. You now got to flip things, and now the offense still has the ball. Yeah, you feel like in that scenario, to use a baseball analogy, that's like when you got a pop-up right there in front of you, you drop it. Yeah, it's still one out in the inning, but it's just the mental of, man, we thought we ended this thing. We thought, and no, that's not what happened. It's honestly, it's quite possibly the worst call that I've ever seen in sports. It's bad. It's really, really bad. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Jay Binkley is going to join us in studio. That's a lot to talk to Binkley about. A lot of NFL news. College football is heating up as well. We'll actually talk about college here coming up in just a bit. And something that I've noticed around the sport when it comes to coaching and culture. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, I'm going to call audible here. I want to talk about something different. I apologize. Binkley's going to join us here in just a bit. I just saw this story, and I had never seen this story. I had never heard of this story. I imagine that many of you had never heard this story. It is hard to kind of catch me off guard in 2025 with a college story, like a college basketball, college football story, because I don't really know what the rules are. But I at least thought this would have been a rule. So, Rob, you remember the kid Tyon Grant Foster. He went to Slagle. I believe he started his career at KU. He then transferred to DePaul. He then was at, I believe he was at Grand Canyon. He's trying to play right now at Gonzaga. He is ineligible in Gonzaga. They're trying to figure things out. There was a part of me that was like, the kid's 25 years old. The kid has played in four different seasons. Like, college basketball should just be up. You should just go be a pro. But I saw a lot of people and people that I have a lot of respect for, Jay Billis, really advocating for this kid, so I kind of stayed out of it. I didn't know this story. Rob, have you heard this story about this kid that's on Louisville? Have you heard this story?
Actually, Speck and me were talking about this morning. Yes, I'm aware of this kid who's on Louisville. Or they're trying to get on Louisville.
You didn't tell me this story. I had never heard this. So for you guys that don't know what we're talking about, there is a kid right now at the University of Louisville. His name is London Johnson. London Johnson has been deemed eligible to play college basketball. London Johnson, his graduating class was in 2022. He then didn't go to college. He went to the G League. He played in the G League for the last three seasons. He now is eligible to play college basketball. He can't play until semester. We've seen that before, so he can play in December. I don't know when the semester ends for Louisville. He can play the remainder of this season. He also has 2 years of eligibility after this year. So he has 2.5 seasons left of college basketball. Now, I'm not here to take opportunities away from young people. I'm really not in the business of doing that. But if you decide to bypass college basketball to go play in the G League, that makes you a professional basketball player. By definition, you are a professional basketball player. And nothing wrong with being a professional basketball player. But you now make yourself ineligible to play college basketball. Now, maybe the argument is they are professional basketball players now, which I can't really disagree with you. But just what are the rules now at this point? What is the difference? You can go try to be an NBA player, fail in your attempt in being an NBA player, and then you can just now go to Kansas or go to Louisville or go to Duke? Who's stopping you from going overseas then if that's the case? Could you go overseas and play in the EuroLeague and then now come play college basketball? Is that possible? Could Victor Wembanyama had just gone to... What are we doing here? You're a professional basketball player. Are we now just accepting that this is just a professional league? So we are now watching NBA Junior, if that's the case. I hate the NBA. Well, you watch the NBA. Everybody on the court's getting paid. Is that what we just accepted what college basketball is now?
I don't even know
how this is possible, to be completely honest with you. I don't know how you can bypass college to go to G League. You tried to make the NBA. You failed in making the NBA. And now we give you a do-over. You can play college basketball. What are we doing?
My assumption is, and I don't know the rules, my assumption is there's probably a loophole that exists because there are European players that were pros in Europe that then come over and play basketball collegially in the United States. Like, the kid KU couldn't get, he's an Italian player at Duke, Sar. I think his name's Sar. He was a guy who played professional basketball, albeit the junior circuit, but he played professional basketball in Italy, and then he came over, now he's at Duke this season. I imagine that loophole is where this guy exists.
I'm honestly not trying to be funny. What would then make you ineligible to play college basketball? Could LeBron play college basketball?
I mean, I honestly don't know.
If you just skipped college altogether and you've just been a pro for the last couple of years, could LeBron just now say, I want to go play basketball at Ohio State University? Is that possible? I'm not even trying to be funny. Is that possible now? Because he's been a pro.
I don't know, because presumably he would have college eligibility left.
He has all 4 years of college eligibility left.
But like,
can he just say, well, you know what? I wanted to play with all of my kids. I'm going to go play with them now.
Does that mean that does this loophole create a?
This is
world
stupid. Can we just admit this is stupid?
Very stupid. Like, can Luka Doncic decide, you know what? I'm going to Arizona next year.
Yeah, that's I want to go play at Kansas. I want to go play at Duke. This is silly. Someone says you get 4 years of college eligibility. You should be able to use them whenever you want. But I'm arguing the moment that you sign up to a professional league, that should just void your college eligibility. That's what it used to be. I don't care what game you play. It has to have rules. There's no rules in college basketball. There's none. You can't go play in the G League for 3 years and then just pop up on a college campus and have 3 years of eligibility left. What are we doing here? Come on now. I don't care. I honestly don't care what school you go to. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. We got to start figuring out some rules for college basketball. College football, it's a little bit different because the NFL won't take you and there's nowhere else for you to play basketball or football professionally. There's a bunch of places for you to play basketball professionally. If you go be a pro somewhere else, you cannot come join our league. We got to start establishing something. I do want to ask you this question really quickly. Binkley's about to join us in studio. Today is Big 12 Media Day. Kelvin Sampson was being interviewed, and he said that he believes that KU is still the bell cow of the Big 12. Rob, do you still believe this about KU? Because the last couple of years, they have not been the best team in the league. They have the number one prospect, number one player, and all of the coaches voted them seventh in their league. Do you still feel like KU's the bell cow of the Big 12?
Yes. Absolutely, 100% yes. A, I think that by television ratings and revenue driven, like, as good as Houston's been and as good as BYU is supposed to be this year, if you're a college basketball fan, if you're a K-State fan, if you're an Iowa State fan listening, if you're an Oklahoma State fan listening, you don't care those schools are coming to your gym. You care Kansas is coming to your gym. You're going to be on real TV because Kansas exists. So, yes, first and foremost, because of the financials, I do believe that. And as long as they have Bill Self, they are going to be the bell cow of the Big 12. Now, maybe if Bill Self retires and, you know, you've seen North Carolina fall off after Roy retired, it changes. But, yes, they are still the bell cow of the Big 12 to this date.
Yeah, someone on the text line asks, you know, why this matters. I feel like this is a part of, and maybe just people just don't care in this scenario. Like, maybe people just don't care. This ultimately ends up hurting high school kids. That, to me, that's the real trickle-down effect. I don't know why you would ever recruit a college high school senior anymore. Unless you were getting Darren Peterson. Unless you're getting Cameron Boozer. I don't know why you would recruit a high school kid. Like, this ultimately ends up hurting kids like Christian Brown. Like, I don't know if Kansas takes Christian Brown in 2025. I think they take him on the transfer portal. I think Christian Brown has to go to another college. I think he balls out at that college, and then KU takes him as a transfer when he's a junior. I don't know if you can take Christian Brown in 2025. You would just take a 24-year-old that's played on three different schools that's just a more mature basketball player, and you would take him. Ultimately, this hurts high school kids. It's a trickle-down effect. If now you not only got to compete with the other kids that are in your class, you basically got to compete with every basketball player in the world. What are we doing now? I thought this whole thing was about creating opportunities for kids. What we're doing now? This kid, the guy that I'm talking about, I don't mean any disrespect for him. He's 25 years old. He's still trying to play college basketball after he's played 4 years. Bro, you got to go be a pro somewhere. Go overseas. Go ball out. Go try to make it to the league. Why don't you go to summer league? We're arguing you should be able to play at Gonzaga. Stop it. Go be a pro. Coming up on the other side, Binkley's going to join us in studio. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's search and inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.